Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com for joining us last hour. John's pretty good at the radio thing. Enjoyed it.
Versatile.
He even got attacked by Stillman. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's part of the deal, man. That's part of the deal. I still don't even understand what Jared is arguing. Like, I keep going back and forth.
Are you still
in
the text battle with him?
Yeah, but it doesn't. So he's saying, like, the Titans have all this leverage, okay? I just disagree with the idea that so my point is, if you have some leverage now and you decide to get this deal done, you can get a better deal for you, I think. Let's say the Titans are like, nah, play this year. First of all, Jeffrey Simmons won't be happy, and I don't blame him. Now, I think he'll play and probably be really good. And if he is and he has a monster year, you could be on the hook for a different deal for a guy who's a year older. Whereas to me, with some leverage that you have, if you get – I mean, to me, and I don't know where Jeffrey Simmons' head is, and maybe his camp is like, we're right up close to Aaron Donald. I don't care what you say. But right now, if I were him, I would be thinking about just my long-term security. So – because Jared's like, well, $25 million is too low guarantee. Like, well, make up your mind. So you're going to play hardball with him, but now that $25 million guaranteed is too low? To me, you can get a better deal done for you now, and you make him happy, and you send a good message, and you send the message that you're going to reward exceptional people and players in your organization. It's a different case. I mean, it 2019 guys aren't getting their deals done right now, but he's not your typical 2019 guy. So I think it could be a great move by John Robinson to get out front on this, but maybe he thinks like Jared.
Well, did the way that the Titans handled it at minicamp, with him being there but not being on the field, him addressing the media, the plan, quote-unquote, that they had for him, did that signal to you that maybe that this is something that they're starting to work on? Because Glennon seemed to think that, yeah, like this seems to be happening.
I'm with Glennon. I think that the – again, Vrabel is going to be evasive and not – I mean, he got asked directly about basically both sides of it. Gaharski asked him and I asked him about both sides of the possibility, which one is, are they playing hardball and this is like a hold-in, as people like to say, or is this Vrabel being proactive? I guess it doesn't necessarily just have to be Vrabel. It could be Vrabel and Robinson. It could be all of them being proactive and saying, like, basically the way Glennon laid it out, show up, come in, be around the team – not going to put you on the field. We know this is going on. This is something we're going to deal with. I can't believe at all for a second, given what we saw and heard last week, that this is not something that both sides are thinking about and talking about. I can't buy that at all.
I agree.
Like, they confirmed it, basically.
I think that's probably going on behind the scenes. I do wonder, like, what's the risk level if you do it now compared to the risk level if you don't? Because, look, Jeffrey Simmons – ever since he got hurt, when he was hurt coming in with the draft, he's largely been available, and he's been a very good player for the Titans. So I don't know if I necessarily worry about his availability moving forward. I mean, you could view it a couple of different ways. He was awesome last year. Is there a chance he's maybe not as good this year and that brings the price down? Maybe. I guess there's a chance.
That's true.
To me,
it could go that way.
There could be a better chance, though, that he's every bit as good, maybe better, this year, and that price just continues to go up. So I agree. Like, I think it is. I mean, every now and then a player comes along and you know what he is and you want to make him happy and you want to keep him around. and you do these things. I'm not saying that this is something that John Robinson needs to make a habit out of doing. There's a port.
Of course not. He hasn't given a second deal to any first rounders.
That's the thing you brought up yet. There's been zero first rounders from John Robinson that have gotten a second deal here with the Titans.
So obviously zero. This is not some trend.
Yeah.
You know, this is not some precedent center. He's not given a second deal to the next year's draft pick. I can promise you that. And then we keep going, and we'll see from there. I mean, right now it's probably trending toward Jeffrey Simmons on an island. So, yeah, it's just a different situation. And doesn't it matter? We all know what he is. We all know what he is relative to the rest of the league, his position, what he means to this team, how important he is to this team, what this team would be without him. So isn't it important for that guy to be happy? I mean, you can play hardball and go strictly by, hey, you're on a contract this year, and then you got your option, and then we're tagging you. You can do that. But doesn't it probably benefit you to have a good work environment and not only him be upset, but I promise you that every other guy in that locker room would look at John Robinson and say, God.
Well,
really?
And to that point, like I don't want to overblow this, because it's not like John Robinson has not paid people. Like, he gave Taylor Lewan a deal, he gave Derrick Henry a deal, he gave Ryan Tannehill a deal.
Casey,
he's
Byard.
Paid people. So it's not like this hasn't happened. But I do think there's something to, like, if you're a young guy, and this is a long way off from being the case, so don't hear what I'm not saying here. But let's say Treylon Burks figures it out. And he comes out this year and he plays really well for the Titans. Like, do you want your young players that you've drafted that are really good to be looking around and thinking to themselves, A.J. Brown is really good here, and the Titans, they couldn't get him signed. Jeffrey Simmons has been awesome here for the Titans, and they have no interest in getting a deal done with him right now. What is this place? Like, what do you got to do here to get a deal with the Titans? Like, again, it's not like John Robinson's not paid people, so I don't want that to be – I don't want to overblow that. But that is something I think you got to think about when it comes to your elite guys.
So you're saying Treylon Burks is going to be rookie of the year. Maybe. That's what I heard in what you just said there.
Yeah.
No, that's a very good point. It's a very good point. Again, like, there's a limitation to that, and there's the answer on the management side would be, it's the NFL, man, right? Like, look around. I could probably find examples for you of other organizations that have had to make tough decisions like this. But I agree that you start stacking things like that together, and it starts to look a little bit different and not favorable for you to other players, including free agents.
I have an official statement from Skip Stillman.
Oh, boy. Oh, so he stopped texting you, or he stopped texting me, and he's going to you.
I have an official statement to quote Joe's incorrect paraphrasing to our discussion. Are you ready for it?
Gotcha.
Quote, I made the point that the Titans do not have to and should not give Jeffrey Simmons a market value contract. They said the Titans should prioritize keeping him happy. Joe then responds with a very team-friendly and below-market-value contract. Joe's contract is low in guarantees and averages the same as DeForest Buckner's contract signed 2 years ago. The Titans would take that below-market-value deal with one season essentially guaranteed, but that's a bad deal for Jeffrey Simmons.
My point being, right now, with some leverage, which we've talked about, couldn't it be nice for you to maybe you could get a deal like that? And look, I could be off. Go to 30. Go to 32. I don't know. But I think I'm in the neighborhood there of what you would do right now. And I think that would be, I think by the end of it, unless there's a devastating injury, I think it would look pretty good for the team by the end of it. So you do have some leverage. I just wouldn't use the leverage to say, get out there and play, buddy. You're good. You're on a deal. I wouldn't do it. But, hey, maybe the Titans will.
So by the time training camp rolls around, is this deal done? Do they have a new deal with Jeffrey Simmons? Let's say a week into training camp.
I don't know about that early, but I'm going to guess. I'll guess yes. I could see it. I could see it progressing past that, but I think ideally you would want that done. I know certainly if you're Jeffrey Simmons before you go into this season, you want that done. You know, every time someone cuts you, and it's just a huge difference in your long-term security getting this deal done now as opposed to waiting. And frankly, I just think he's earned it. Now, how the Titans feel about it, I don't know. So, but I think we got a glimpse of that last week with how they handled everything. So I'll say yes. Though I could see it stretching a little bit past camp.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Do you agree with Joe that the Titans should give Jeffrey Simmons a deal? And maybe they're working on it right now. 615-737-1025. This Thursday, 1025 The Game will be out at Nissan Stadium in the South Plaza from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as Monster Jam is set to announce something big. Also, Monster Jam has partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank and is hosting a community food drive to support Nashville families facing hunger. For every 5 non-perishable items donated, fans will receive 1 complimentary ticket to this Saturday's Monster Jam event coming up at Nissan Stadium. Tickets available for the first 250 donations on site while supplies last. A limit of 4 complimentary vouchers per family/household. For more information, visit monsterjam.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Nashville Sounds return to a First Horizon Park for a 6-game series against the Gwinnett Stripers, a Triple A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. You can catch all the action tonight on 94.9 The Fan at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Job, Keith. J-Rob buys 2 books for a dollar.
Yes.
Nice.
J-Rob is nice. Perusing the yard sale. Take a quarter for these.
Come on. How about 3? 3? Yeah, this whole thing is, I think that there's like a happy medium. Maybe this is a good metaphor for life, this whole Jeffrey Simmons thing. You know, like, this is where compromise is perfect, right? Like, both sides have some leverage, obviously, but both sides have a case. And again, I don't know where either side's coming from, but like, to me, this could be a perfect situation to give a great player security, but also to help yourself a little bit and really end up with what I think would be a good deal for the club. Now, maybe Jeffrey Simmons doesn't want that. Maybe he's like, I should be $1 less than Aaron Donald. I don't know. But this is where it's kind of tough for him, because if you really want to break it down, I mean, he is under contract this year, and he does have an option year, and they do have the tag. So, like, these things have to be mentioned when they're sitting at the table.
You think he's asking for Aaron Donald money?
Oh, I don't know. No, I have no idea. I do think that if I was representing him, I'd probably bring up the name Aaron Donald a time or two. You know, I mean, it's of course. Like, look at the deal this guy got. Let's go back to Sunday Night Football last year. Who was better that night, you know? I'm going to do all that stuff, but this is, again, why compromise should be the result. And ultimately, you have a guy who gets a good deal that's probably is below market, because like Philip Forsberg is going to get paid more if he's in free agency, right? He's going to get more money if he's in free agency. If he doesn't, if you stay with your team, you're going to get less money.
Well, he's going to get more money per year, yeah.
Well, right. Well, that's true. Yeah, the NHL, it's a little different. Totally different thing. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, your average annual value is going to be different if you actually get to the market and if you don't. Well, Jeffrey Simmons is not on the market and is not anywhere near the market. So that's the problem for him. But if I were him, I'd want security.
Now, the other part of this that's interesting, let's say that this happens and they have a new deal for Jeffrey Simmons, whether that's early in training camp, later this season, whenever it happens, and Jeffrey Simmons gets his new deal. At what point, if you're John Robinson, are you looking around at the money you're spending with these four guys, with Autry, Simmons, Landry, and Dupree, and thinking to yourself, that's a lot of money spent on those four guys trying to get after the quarterback? And I know Jeffrey Simmons is one job is not specifically just to get after the quarterback, but those four guys with the strength of your team last year, like, how much money is too much money invested with those four guys in your mind?
It's a fair question if you think about it that way. I'd be saying, give me those 9 sack games, guys, and hopefully we don't screw any more of them up. But, I mean, I believe that it's quarterback and then a dominant pass rush are the two. That's my top 2 things that I want in my football team. I want the greatest quarterback, of course. And then my next thing is I want a dominant front that destroys the other quarterback. So it is a lot. And it will change. I mean, Autry is going to end up being a pretty short, I think, period player here. And that may be true of Dupree, too. I don't know. We'll see. But you're right. It will, if they do pay him like this training camp, I mean, that's, well, then we'll add up all the numbers. And each game, it's like the blah, blah, blah million-dollar pass rush got one sack against the lowly Giants in a devastating opening loss, et cetera, et cetera. So you're right. That it's a ton to put into. Well, what was the investment last year in offensive skill, but that's the thing AJ hadn't gotten paid yet. But, you see that with some teams, right? Ridiculous amounts of money plowed into QB and a receiver and a running back, or two receivers and a QB. So with this team, you got a running back in a pretty friendly deal. Actually, you got a quarterback in a pretty friendly deal too. And you're putting your money in getting after the QB.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, give Jeffrey Simmons 4 years, $80 million, $50 million guaranteed. He's coming up on the guaranteed money from you.
That's a big guarantee. I wouldn't give him that much guaranteed. But I think you're in the neighborhood on the contract. Again, I said 485, 25. So do 485, 30. Something in there. 35? Something like that to me is a good deal. It's given the situation on both sides, I think that would be right in the wheelhouse. Compromise. Talk. Come together on something. We can do this in life.
Going back to the Treylon Burks discussion, Indy Ben on the text line says, Vrabel knew that J-Rob panicked on draft night when he traded AJ for Burks. You could see it all over his face. Going back to Vrabel's reaction on TV when the AJ Brown trade was announced and the Treylon Burks pick came through.
I don't know if that was it, Indy Ben, or if it was just misery at this happening. Remember, as the reporting that came out later, I mean, the discussion started the day before, so this wasn't like, who's on the line? It's the Eagles. Okay, what? What would you get? Okay, fine. I mean, it wasn't quite that off the cuff, but I think his face did tell the story of someone who was very upset. Of course he was. You can't find me at that moment a person in the organization who didn't have a look of shock / dismay or some combination on their face. I mean, I promise you, like that shook up the building.
Well, how much?
Not in a good way.
Well, how much does that factor into to Jeffrey Simmons? If you're J-Rob, knowing that just happened with AJ Brown, we've talked about it. Like the Titans have been living on that 2019 draft the past few years because you've had Simmons and Brown and David Long and Amani Hooker. I mean, there's player after player you can name in that. Nate Davis. I mean, it's a great draft.
Unbelievable draft. It's a good thing they had that one.
It's amazing that's how good it was. But does the A.J. Brown and situation and how that played out, do you think that factors into Jeffrey Simmons at all if you're John Robinson? Just knowing the information of how that ended. I know it's obviously two different players, two very different positions, but do you think that factors in at all?
Maybe. I think, first of all, it factors in different ways. One is, of course, you do have more flexibility for someone else. But I think Glennon brought up an interesting point. I didn't really thought of it in this way, but almost like the Titans having gone through just the hey, look, there was a press conference with Vrabel and Robinson, and I asked them about the social media stuff, which Robinson, was like, I don't know who's on Twitter or Insta.
Vimeo.
Vimeo, yeah. Which is fine, but, everybody knows what's going on out there. I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for them, wasn't enjoyable. Does not mean A.J. Brown was a cancer in the locker room, but from a management perspective, you don't want to have stuff like that going on, right? That's not fun, I'm sure.
Instagram Live of Debo Samuel's relatives
airing out all exactly.
The dirty laundry of the Titans.
Ripping you third hand on Insta, Insta Live. So I think that, like Glennon. Brennan Glennon would be a good name. Maybe Glennon would like to adopt Brennan. We'll have to talk about that the next time he comes in. But he mentioned, you know, like, let's not have this situation. Let's not have all this stuff out there, and let's kind of deal with this in a different way. Maybe there's a little bit of that, too. But to me, it's still its own situation independently, and it's simply this guy is a special player. It's hard to where in this mock draft did they have Jeffrey Simmons going? This fifth. Redo? Fifth overall?
And AJ, three.
Yeah. So you lost one of those guys. You know, and again, you don't necessarily lose the other, but don't you want the absolute best out of the other? And to me, paying someone usually is a motivation, not a reason for motivation to go away. If they're who you think they are as a competitor, wanting to be great, wanting to win a championship, then now you've given them that security that should actually fortify things and make them better.
Gator Tim on the text line says, unfortunately, Jay Donk wasted $19 million on Bust Dupree in his 5 to 7 sacks per year. Can he really have $70 million on the D-line? Many different names that Gator Tim threw out there.
Wow, Gator Tim's got a lot of – what does Jay Donk mean? I don't get it.
I don't know. I guess just Donk.
I don't know. Yeah, explain that one, Gator Tim. Yeah, I think you're a little early in like if Bud Dupree, like Glennon said, he averaged 8 over the previous 4 years. That was also 11.5 and 8 in two of the last Correct. Two of those. But if you had about 8 sacks a year and availability and good all-around play from Bud Dupree, does that completely validate the price tag? Maybe not, but, I mean, the cap is flexible, guys. Real but flexible.
John on the text line says, I didn't know Glennon was the guy from Step Brothers. The more you know. Going back to Brennan.
Brennan and what was the other guy in Step Brothers?
Why am I forgetting his name?
Come on. I'm not going to ask Michelle. She's not even listening to us anyway.
I'm listening. I'm multitasking.
I see that.
People are going to light us up on the text line because I've forgotten his name.
Brennan and come on. All right, someone help us out on the text line.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Drake Hills from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on all things Nashville SC and Nashville missing out on the 2026 World Cup as a host city as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Drake Hills from the Tennessean, who covers Nashville SC. Drake, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, no, we're doing pretty good, man. Enjoyed a good holiday, good Juneteenth holiday. So now we're back in business.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, Drake. So we'll get to Nashville SC and a tough loss the other day here in just a second. I do want to get your thoughts on Nashville's bid to host the 2026 World Cup falling short. What did you make of that decision, and what do you think ultimately was the difference for Nashville at the end of the day in not being able to host the 2026 World Cup?
Yeah, well, the elephant in the room, obviously, is, you know, the status of, you know, the Titans and their recent stadium development plans that they've been revealing on a pretty much a seasonal basis since basically the end of the NFL season late February. And then obviously, you know, what are they going to do with Nissan Stadium? It's very clear that, you know, when you take a look at obviously how FIFA came into Nashville last September, they had a lot of good things to say about the stadium. They loved the surface. They, you know, considered Nissan Stadium to be the best NFL stadium fit for FIFA standards. And so, you know, what that means is, as I mentioned, the surface, obviously, you know, seat construction, you know, things of that sort. But they did have questions about, you know, they have closed corners around Nissan Stadium. So Nashville would have had to clear all of those out, clear all of the corner seats from the third level all the way down to the 100 level. And they would have had to probably do a lot of upgrades in the VIP and hospitality area. But it seems to me, from a more local perspective, it seems that the World Cup was just a vehicle to advance the Titans, you know, efforts to build a new stadium instead of, you know, taking a look at the World Cup as an opportunity to essentially, you know, expose themselves to the international world of sport. And so I think FIFA smelled that and sensed that, and that's where we are today.
No, so that's interesting. I haven't really heard it put that way, Drake. And I understand – I mean, I understand from the Titans' perspective. Obviously there's the process of going in, looking and seeing how much it costs, deciding they want a new stadium. There's a big benefit of having a new stadium to the city. But I got the sense that, I mean, there were people in the city who badly, badly wanted this and, you know, understood what it would have meant. I mean, this would have been the biggest thing ever in Nashville. So, I mean, I guess when you say that, are you talking strictly from the Titans' perspective or Nashville at large?
Oh, I think it's both. I think it's Nashville at large, but it's, you know, the Titans obviously have a role to play in this. They are the ones who, you know, obviously are leading, you know, it's their plans, right? That they've revealed to the sports authority here in Nashville. But also when you talk about, Joe, the efforts of a lot of folks, wanting this 26 FIFA World Cup, I highly doubt that that was the mayor's office and Mayor John Cooper. I think that, you know, there is a consistency here when you take a look at the effort it needed for John Ingram and the Nashville SC ownership group to build Geodis Park. I think that's not too far from, you know, the lack of effort relative to the rest of the 2026 FIFA World Cup bids. You take a look at the marketing and the efforts, not just from the soccer officials in, let's say, Kansas City, but also the mayors, the celebrities of that market. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. The Chiefs were on the Kansas City bandwagon to get a World Cup. You don't see that from Nashville. You don't see a lot of the effort that it took to essentially bid its way and to market its way into FIFA's hands. And so I think, you know, to answer your question, I think it's a split responsibility. I think that, you know, this the Titans Stadium is seems to be an inevitable piece here, but the timing is really unfortunate. And I think a detriment to what, you know, FIFA saw and their values. Like I said, I think they really did value Nissan Stadium, with of course a slew of renovations. But the stadium itself, it seemed to be just using the World Cup as an excuse to advance the new stadium rhetoric. And I think that's what's going to happen for, you know, Butch Spearden talked about the 2030 Rugby World Cup and started talking about SEC, you know, football games being played at Nissan Stadium or a new stadium. And obviously the long game is a Super Bowl. So I think that the World Cup is no different from those pieces.
So do you think, had the effort been different, better, stronger, more on par with those other cities, that could have made up the difference of this stadium uncertainty?
I think it could have made a significant jump, but I don't think it was the only thing, right? I don't want it to seem like it was the Titans and the local organizing committee who was, you know, in charge of the bid. It wasn't just about the stadium. It was also the fact that they did have to go against Kansas City. And surprisingly, I think to everyone, was how FIFA basically presented and selected each bid by region. So they took the Western region, so the likes of Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, Seattle, and the like. And then they split into the Central region, which is where Nashville were. But they put Atlanta in the Central region. And it was clear to everyone that Mercedes-Benz Stadium and Atlanta just as a city was a lock for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. But why not Atlanta be in the Eastern region with the Torontos and the New York, New Jerseys and the Miamis? So I think it's very interesting. And to keep in mind, you know, there's a lot of competition from each region. It isn't just the United States. It's also Canada and Toronto and Vancouver, but also Mexico and Monterrey, Guadalajara, and Mexico City. And so when you take a look at, you know, the regions, I think that was another piece that I think that played into Nashville not, you know, being able to win a bid.
Drake Hill's from the Tennessean on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Drake, Nashville SC's 25-game unbeat streak at home comes to an end over the weekend. What stood out to you about that game? And just put in context for us how impressive that streak is, 25 games at home, unbeaten, their first loss at home since October of 2020.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, 25 games, and sorry, I meant to say November 2020. That was basically the first week of November where they went and lost to FC Dallas at Nissan Stadium, and then went on, as you mentioned, Robbie, just basically handling everybody at Nissan Stadium. For the most part, not losing a game and going into Geodis Park and continuing that. But this is something that's very uncharacteristic. And Coach Gary Smith mentioned this at the end of the game at the press conference on Sunday, which was, you know, this is something that Nashville SC isn't used to. And he's at a crossroads right now to look at potentially making changes. He didn't say it literally, but, you know, what he meant by that is, you know, he has to start taking a look at the tactical lineup and see, is this the starting group that's going to propel us forward in this new chapter? And, you know, because this isn't just a one-off. I mean, they didn't play well against San Jose in terms of, you know, finishing in front of goal. They, you know, they had plenty of chances a week ago, but they simply did not finish. And then this time, going up against the Sporting Kansas City side, who has, you know, has losses in the previous three games. They're at the bottom of the Western Conference. San Jose the week before was second to bottom in the Western Conference. So you have dropped points. You tie against San Jose, and then you lose against Sporting Kansas City, two teams that are one of the worst teams in the standings in the league. And so that's a big red flag, I think, for Nashville. And so I think you might see a lot of changes going into this Saturday at DC United, not just in the lineup, but potentially how they play as well. I think that they're probably going to be a little more focused on creating some more chances, being more attacking-minded.
Is Ake Loba now? Has he arrived, Drake?
Yeah, more from me on that, though. Joe, I mean, you're a writer too. You kind of smell it, right? I mean, you're watching the game. You watch this guy basically sit on the bench since he signed for a club record signing in last summer, and for the first time, I think, since he's gotten to Nashville, Ake Loba is not only scoring goals, but is looking like he's a part of the team. You know, he's starting to build some chemistry with Hany Mukhtar and CJ Sapong in attack. And you can, if you watch the game or if you didn't watch the game on Sunday, you know, he earned a penalty that wasn't called, and he was able to score a goal that I think Ake Loba from the end of last year would have missed that because he hasn't been playing. So, look, Joe, this guy deserves a start, and I think if I'm going to roll the dice, I think he does.
So it sounds like he's a Drake Hill story too. Is that what you're telling us?
And that's what I'm saying.
There we go.
Keep a lookout on that.
That's right. That's a tease right there. I like that. Drake Hill's from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Drake, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Robbie and Rex, I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, buddy.
Drake Hill's our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And I'm good friends with Coach Cooper. They got their butt kicked really good. One was a great game. Two was awful.
Yeah.
And I was sitting around the house today, and I called a commissioner. I said, hey, can I get two tickets tonight? He says, are you coming down? I said, if you get me two tickets, I'm coming down.
You called Gary Bettman today.
I did. I got his cell. You don't have it.
What's Gary's number?
It's on the commish.
Got it.
It's on the commish. But I want to thank him for having me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big Lightning fan. I'm a Cooper fan. I'm pulling for the Lightning. But, man, they got their hands full with this Avalanche team.
I swear, I could listen to Charles Barkley talk about hockey all day long.
Flex.
Just called up the commissioner and said, hey, you got two tickets tonight? I'd like to be there.
Bettman's like, but you have to sit next to me, Charles. Charles is like, well.
Your Kaharsky voice and your Bettman voice are the same voice.
And Coach K. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Grayson. God, you're right. Grayson. Christian would really be happy at this hockey game.
See, I think I've got a little more nasal in the K.
I agree.
Which, yeah, we
need to get Kevin Ingram on.
Yeah, we've had Kevin Ingram on here doing the ultimate Coach K, so. But I'm probably better at that than, like, the other ones. Although Kuhorsky, you know, Paul Kuhorsky here. And he doesn't talk like that at all, but I just feel like that's that's what he should sound like. When Stillian Pauly gets going.
Yeah.
That's what I want him to – I need him to transition to that.
By the way, PK will be on the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
He will be.
Yeah.
And a regular appearance. He's going to be a weekly.
Weekly contributor.
A weekly with PK.
Yeah. Looking forward to
that. I
don't
want to hear any complaining on the text line.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, I can't believe we forgot this earlier, but we had multiple texts Dale is Brennan's brother and stepbrothers.
That's disappointing. Good gracious. That's disappointing. Dale and
Brennan. How do we forget that?
I don't know. It's been a while, I guess. Like, when did that movie come
out? Prestige Worldwide?
Oh, man. God, so, seriously,
that movie probably came out in 2006, 2007.
Is it that long ago?
Let me look.
So, seriously, Michelle, no, on the stepbrothers front?
No, I've seen it. I just can't, like, recite movies.
You can't enjoy funny movies. Yeah.
Don't even. Office Space is bad.
Dude, you've watched 5 minutes of it. Seven. Watch the movie.
08 for stepbrothers.
08. Yeah. Wow, that's terrible.
It's 14 years ago.
Yeah. That's actually it. Now that I have a plan for this weekend. So now I got a light bulb popped up in my head. So we'll talk about it after the show.
Rebecca on the text line says, yay for PK with 2 exclamation points. It's PK coming on tomorrow. Rebecca's a fan of it.
Oh, okay.
Did that confuse you?
I just got, because we've been talking about PK Subban too, like having forced to talk NBA on First or whatever it's called.
Get up.
And, yeah. Okay. So good. All right. Rebecca's happy. You know what I'm saying? So Drake Hill's interesting comments there. On, I wonder how popular that thought is about the World Cup bid. Now, I mean, look, I talked to Butch Spiridon a few times through the course of it. And I can just that guy has done obviously a lot, brought a lot of things here, has been very successful. I would characterize his desire for the World Cup here as extremely extreme, for lack of like better words that I could have used there. He badly wanted the World Cup here, and I think a lot of people did. But that is an interesting thought by Drake, that this was used to advance the cause. I think it did work out that way, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that.
I wonder how many people buy that theory.
I don't know.
That kind of made a good case for it.
Well, it kind of goes back to last week with the people are blaming the Titans when they didn't get it. And I looked at it like, look, the timing is bad. Once you get into – and they told us the whole story of going into the stadium and coming out with – maybe it was all – you know, maybe it wasn't earnestly done. And they all along, really, they wanted a new stadium. I don't think so. Amy Adams Strong was public about not wanting to get into all that and about wanting to do something more like other stadiums that have been redone. So I think people came about this situation honestly. But the problem is that if FIFA says you need to do this, the stadium, and all of a sudden, like, there's no way you're putting a dime in that thing because you're having a new one, well, you're in this tough spot of where they were, which is, hey, you could use that or you could use the new one if the new one's done. We hope it's done. To me, it's just very simple. So it's unfortunate, but I struggle to blame the Titans here.
What do you make of Roman Josi's chances to win the Norris Trophy tonight? The voting has taken place. It's already done. The announcement is tonight. He's nominated with Cale Makar and Victor Hedman. Do you think Roman Josi wins his second Norris Trophy tonight?
I think he does. And this brings me to a text from Ben who says, does him not winning it have any benefit? I wonder if some people would view everything as more of a failure, more of an indictment on management, if we had the Norris winner and wasted the season. That's from Ben.
No.
I don't think there's a benefit. You know, I mean
the guy put up 96 points whether he won the Norris Trophy or he didn't.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, do you think that – so I suppose there probably will be another round of tweets – when he wins it. It's like, good job, Norris winner. You got the Norris winner and you went out. But also, I do think that some of that gets muted by what we've seen from Colorado. Yeah, a little bit?
A little bit. See if they finish the job.
We'll see if they finish the job. Be pretty funny if they didn't, wouldn't it?
This E60 coming out between the Red Wings and Avalanche has you fired up against the Avs, man.
That's going to be one of those forced family viewing. I don't care what you kids think you're doing today, going outside, seeing your friends. No. You're going to sit your butt down and watch Avs Red Wings. And I hope it's as good as the trailer makes it look.
Well, the clip awesome. I sent you yesterday was basically just of Claude Lemieux getting punched in the face repeatedly.
Yeah, which I can't watch too many times.
back
and
then,
Patty Roy, as you call him, yeah, charging the play.
Little Patty Roy getting his Brennan butt Shanahan kicked too.
Meeting in midair.
Oh, those were the good old days. I mean, that was like if you wanted to watch that again, you had to have had your VCR set to record it, you know, which I didn't. But it was replayed many times and the local sports stations. What an incredible, sweet revenge. And then to win it all that year, too. Oh, man, made it all worthwhile. 25 years ago.
I think Yosi wins tonight as well. I think it's going to be real close. Like, I would not be surprised at all if Makar wins. It is funny. Like, Hedman gets nominated every year, and it's almost like they're like, okay, well, Hedman's nominated. I know he's won before, but it's like, okay, well, Hedman's there, but we're not going to give it to him. But he's there every year. Like, I feel like Makar is about to be
nominated
every year.
Yeah.
Like, he'll win a couple of times, and they'll just be like, okay, well, you know, he's there. We'll see what happens on that front. I think Yosi wins tonight. I think it's going to be really close. If he does, and that's two Norris trophies, I start to think about Hall of Fame with Yosi. I mean, two Norris trophies, that's a pretty elite list that you're on. If you win multiple Norris trophies, you put up 96 points, most points by a defenseman in 30 years in the league. He's 32 years old. Like, he's going to continue to produce and put up numbers for the next few years. Like, I start to allow myself to think about when Roman Yosi, when it's all said and done, could he end up in Toronto as a Hockey Hall of Famer? I think there's a good chance he might.
I think he's absolutely on pace to do so. And I don't know. You know, it's not like we have. It's not math. It's not do this and you're in. You know this, but given his achievement and when you project what should be ahead for him the next few years, I think he's going to be a pretty strong open and shut case for the Preds. Running out of words now. It's time to end the show.
Henry on the text line says, I was at Joe Louis Arena for the last Red Wings Avalanche game. It was fairly boring and midway through the second. They showed the brawl from 97 on the Jumbotron, and it still didn't get the teams fired up. This coming from Henry on the text line.
That's a depressing story.
Yeah.
Well, it will get me fired up, Henry, okay? Sunday? When is that Sunday afternoon? Yeah.
Great rivalry from the late 90s, early 2000s.
So Monday's show will just be us watching it.
Joe recapping
during the show.
Maybe we need to get like a Red Wing from that period next week. What do you think?
Yeah,
I'm gonna start working.
Stevie
that.
Y, come on.
It's possible. Who knows?
That's gonna do it for us.
He knows Izzo
here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. The DDC up next. This is ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.